Hi, everybody. This is Pam from Make Room for the Stuttering, which you can find at www.stutterrockstar.wordpress.com. And you can find this podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, directly accessed from the blog or freely downloadable at iTunes. Today I'm really excited to have a friend that I met at the NSA conference a couple years ago, and a Facebook buddy, Anita. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Pam.
And Anita, if you could introduce yourself to us.
Who am I? Well, my name is Nida Blom. I live in Sweden, but I come from Holland. I am married to a Swede, and we have a 15-year-old daughter, and I also have stepchildren and 4 grandchildren. So I'm also a grandmom, which I don't feel like, but it's great to have kids.
Wow, that's a big family.
Yep, that's right. What I do for a living is I work at a school for adults. There I work as a teacher. I also work as an IT support. I have multimedia courses, and I am even the janitor.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, everything. It's a small school. I also have another job. We have our own company where we have steam engines and then a workshop and then all kinds of stuff. I also have a band. I am playing in a marching band. And I have a dog, and I don't have a life, basically.
I was just yes. Thinking, do you ever get a chance to sleep?
No, because I am also the chair of the local stuttering chapter. I'm the chair of the National Stuttering Association. I'm the vice chair of the European League of Stuttering Association, and on different committees on the International Stuttering Association.
Oh my goodness.
That's about it.
Oh my goodness. You are incredibly busy.
Yep.
Why are you so involved in the stuttering community? What brought you here to this place? What drives you?
When I was young, when I was in school, I was bullied very, very hard, both by kids and by teachers. I was taught not to study, not to even try learning languages, because I wasn't going anywhere anyway. When I grew up, then I found myself pretty worthless. I was not accepted, and I thought, well, okay, then I'm a nothing, and I almost gave up living. Then I got a job, then I got a boyfriend, and suddenly I found out I was okay. But the major turn came when I was 27 and I found this brochure that there was a stuttering association, and I was like, oh my god, I'm not the only one. And that really turned my life around, just to meet other people who stutter. I don't have to explain who I am. I don't have to explain why I do what I do, about my feelings, about my background, because they knew. And that was so amazing. And from that day on, and I said, I will do everything I can to give stuttering a face. I will speak in public. I would just be on every politician's doorstep. I will speak to teachers just to make people understand that this is stuttering and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And we have rights. We are not pitiful people. We are not people that you can say, well, stuttering is nothing. we are okay, but we also need help.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's my drive.
How did you do that? I mean, how did you go from feeling, you described the feelings of poor self-worth and not thinking much of yourself as a person who stutters. How did you go from there to, as you say, being on every politician's doorstep? Did it just happen, or did you practice, or did you lead up to that, or that's just fascinating. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it went very, very slowly. When I was 18, I was suicidal. I didn't want to go on because then I heard that I tried to go to the police academy, but there they told me I could never become a policewoman because I stuttered. And then I finally realized I wasn't going anywhere. Then I realized that they were right. But then my father fixed a job for me, a summer job. That job turned into a study job. And there, for the first time, these people told me I was good. I was doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, but I stutter. And they say, yeah, sure, but you are doing a good job. Then I got a boyfriend, and he said, you are a great person. I said, well, how can that be? Because I stutter. And they said, well, yes, but you're still a great person. They saw behind me, they saw me. And that changed me. Then I finally started to show who I really was, because I lost myself trying to be somebody other people wanted me to be, which I thought. I tried to change. I tried to be like them, which I couldn't.
Right.
And then suddenly, when they told me I was good, I was fine. I was okay. Then I thought, well, maybe if I turn back into me, then things will be better, because then I can relate to myself again, which I did. And so it went very, very slowly. It took me many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I met other people who started, there was such a major change. Then I could really, really, really stand up and say, well, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard work. Very hard work.
It sounds like you've been on a very long and amazing journey from the time of actually feeling suicidal at one point. Did you get specific help at that point? Did you see a counselor or a therapist to help you through that really dark point?
No, because nobody knew. We couldn't talk about stuttering. When I talked about stuttering in school, then they said, well, just stop stuttering. When I talked about bullying in school, they just said, well, then stuttering. Just be like the others. When I talked about it at home, it was like, stop stuttering. I mean, the word stuttering couldn't be mentioned. I couldn't stutter at home. When we were amongst family, I couldn't speak in public because stuttering was such a bad thing. So I didn't talk to anyone. So nobody knew what was going on in my mind until much later, when I finally started to talk about it.
Wow. Do you think other women experience the same situations as you have? I mean, since since you've come out and done all this amazing stuff and have been a voice for stuttering in Sweden and in internationally, have you met other women that have kind of gone through the same thing, have felt isolated and lonely and worthless?
What I felt, I was daddy's girl. I wanted to make him happy, and because stuttering was such a bad thing to him, then I first tried really, really hard, and then I tried to hide it. That's a thing that I heard from other women as well, that they are trying to hide it, and that they are trying to be the good girl, doing good at school, doing good at work, being a perfect mom and perfect wife, and so you want to be perfect, but inside then you feel there is something wrong, and who do you talk to if you don't find other people who stutter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely can agree with that. I don't know if you remember when we met at the conference that you came to in the U.S. and it was so great meeting you then. I too had been covert for many years, meaning had tried to keep my stuttering hidden also, because I thought I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I was defective, and I kind of had the same experience with my father. You know, my father was embarrassed and ashamed of me stuttering publicly, and I think he thought it was a poor reflection on him that there was something wrong with one of his kids. You know, so just like you said, I felt like, oh my God, like, I have to control this. I have to keep it hidden so that I don't show this defective, this flawed part of myself. And like you, I just eventually, my insides were like scrambling. My insides were like screaming to me that I was being fake. I was hiding my true self. And that's really what I had such a huge struggle with. And it kind of sounds like that's almost the same in your case. Yeah?
That was maybe the hardest part, that you feel like a fake. You are hiding. You are pretending to be fluent. You are pretending to be the nice guy. You are, well, you want to be somebody else. You want to be fluent, which you're not. And it's like when I was little, I didn't like to be, I didn't like to be a girl. I wanted to be a boy.
Really?
I pretended to be a boy. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Because they couldn't pee outside, and I couldn't. They could come home late, and I couldn't. So I hated to be a girl. I didn't want to wear dresses or skirts. But suddenly, then I found out, well, this is me. I am a girl. And I'm fine with it, and I can still do whatever I want to do. I can still come home with torn clothes. I can still do what I want. Well, I can't pee outside, but like guys do. But I can be me, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It was the same with my stutter. Then I thought, well, if I stutter, right? But at least I'm the one stuttering. At least it's me, and that gave me such peace to accept myself the way I am, and I'm proud of me finally. But that took me many years.
Yeah, that's such a good thing to say, isn't it? That I'm proud of me as me.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and I think all people that stutter need to hear that, but particularly women who have for so long let this keep them from being me. And you know, I think the message that, you know, people that are willing to come out and talk about their stuttering stories is really important, and that, you know, it'll help somebody out there that maybe is still fighting that lonely battle. How are you accepted professionally in the workplace as a woman who stutters? Does it impact that at all?
Well, that was kind of funny because in school, well, I was trying to fight my demons one after one, and I went very very well, and and I'm speaking a lot in public. I even spoke for the European committee, but I couldn't speak in school because I was terrified of school, terrified of teachers. Mm. Just facing them was horrible. Then I went back to school, and I studied there for two years. After that, I was offered a job at school, and I said, well, how can you have me as a teacher because I stutter? And they say, well, because you stutter, you speak very slowly to the other students when you're trying to explain things, and you apparently speak better when you articulate, which is better for our students. So we like you to be a teacher, because I've heard from especially the elderly who are taking computer courses that they like you to teach them because you speak slowly and clearly. So I got this job because I stuttered.
Oh, isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now, would you have ever thought that when you were a kid? Would you have ever thought that, wow, one day you would get a job because you stutter?
Not just that. I hated schools. I hated teachers. I hated teaching. And today I'm teaching teachers, which is just amazing.
Yeah, wow. That is. It's just, yeah, it's almost given me goosebumps hearing you say that, because it's just like a total turnaround from your early life. Did you hate school, and did you hate teachers so much because of the bullying that you experienced? Was that part of it?
Yeah, of course, because they didn't listen. They didn't give me time. They didn't see through me. They just said, "Well, you've not done your homework." I mean, there was even one teacher when we had this homework check, that she had me come to the front, and then she asked me questions, and I froze. I couldn't speak, and then she did that every week.
Oh,
and I couldn't speak every week, and then she said, well, Anita, you can go and sit down because you haven't done your homework. And she did that every single week. When we had a school reunion, then I met her, and I asked her, why on earth did you do that? Because you ruined so much for me. And she said, well, I'm a politician, and your father is too, and I don't like your father, and that's it.
Oh my goodness!
Hmm?
Oh my gosh! So she was like,
"Yeah." Oh. And I mean, even years later, when I studied Swedish, then I had to do this oral project, and I asked the teacher, could I do it just for you? That'll be easier. And she said, well, yeah, sure. But I knew that when I do this, then I stutter a lot, really major. So I did a lot of work on it just to compensate for my speech. And when I was done, she said, well, that was an amazing job. You're really good, but you were speaking longer than you were allowed to. So it gotta be. Anyway. So all these things made me very, very sad, and I lost trust in teachers and the whole school system. But when I got back to this new school, which was a very small school, this time they were like cheering me. They were so good. The teachers were great. Students were great. I was doing the ceremonies on the final day. It was just amazing. So it can be so different, and that's why I just finished a multimedia project, which is about stuttering, which has podcasts and movies and PowerPoints, so they can learn about stuttering, so they can see people stutter, because most teachers haven't seen or heard people who stutter, and they don't find the students mm-hmm. school because we are so quiet. Yeah. We don't speak up.
Right. Yeah. And I believe it's the same here too in the United States. A lot of the speech language pathologists in the schools, they very rarely work with kids and young people who stutter, because there's so few of us and people tend to keep it hidden. So when a speech pathologist does run across somebody who stutters, they don't know what to do, or they don't realize that it's so much more than what comes out of our mouth. It's also all the emotional stuff and you know, the feelings that we're not as good as the next person, and people do need to understand that and realize that that needs to be dealt with just as much as the actual mechanics of the speech that comes out of our mouth. It's just so inspiring what you're doing. You're making such a difference.
Well, we are our own worst enemies, because how should people understand what stuttering is? How should people understand what to do if we don't tell them? We are experts on our own stuttering, and we are quiet. We try to be fluent. We try to be covert. We try not to show people that we are there. So how would they understand? How can they help us if we don't tell them how? So we have to get out there, and we have to tell them. Well, like I put on my badge, like, sure, I stutter. What are you good at? Because I am a stuttering expert.
Yeah.
And we all are.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is that like a pin of yours, like a name badge that you wear all
yep.
the time?
Yep. Because it makes it much easier. Because when I open my mouth and nothing comes out, when I make movements, when I have tics, you know, all these funny things that we do, people freeze, people freak out, and I think, oh my God, what is she doing? Yeah, is she having a fit? Or I once got this guy on a train, and when I asked him where the next train was, my connection, and I was in a hurry, and I stuttered a lot, and then this guy, he was like, oh my God, what is she doing? He took my hand, he took my bag, and he said, okay, little girl, I will show you to the train. You don't have to worry. Don't be afraid. I will take care of you.
Oh, my God.
I was like, well, shall I be angry? Shall I be sad? Or shall I just let him carry my bag? Which I did.
Why?
Why not? It was easier. Then I didn't have to carry it, because I was in a hurry explaining it. Then I would have missed my connection.
Wow.
But now with this badge, now I can see people. They first freak, and they were like, "Oh my God, what is she doing? What is wrong with her?" And then when I see this badge, then their whole mimic changes, and it was like, "Okay, she just stutters." And most of them, they start asking. They start telling me, "Well, I have this neighbor, cousin's daughter, you know, whatever. He or she also stutters." It just makes life much more, much, much easier.
Good for you. Do you wear it all the time?
Yep, on my jacket.
That is so wonderful. That's like 100% advertising all the time. Wow, you go, girl. Tell me a little bit about all this advocacy that you do in the stuttering community. At the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned like you're the chairperson for four or five different things. You must do a lot of traveling.
I try to go to congresses locally, nationally, internationally. So I am hoping to go to the World Congress in Argentina next year. I've been in most parts of the world, and that's the funny part, because when I was told that I was not going anywhere anyway because of my stutter, today I travel the world because I stutter, and I even get paid to get there, which is very amazing. I've got funding from like Lions, from the community where I live in, even from the bank.
Wow.
Because where I live, everybody knows me. Everybody knows what I do, because I advertise all the time. Mm-hmm. Then they know what I'm doing. They know why. So they offer me money to go to these places. Thanks to my stutter, I am going everywhere.
That is so wonderful. I mean, stuttering has opened up doors for you all over the world to help other people that stutter. That's beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 What I find the most amazing thing to do, that is the most rewarding thing that I do, is children camps and youth camps. Children camps we have in three days, and you can see these kids when they hear me stutter, they are like, "Oh, mommy, have you seen that? She too stutters," and they're like, "Wow." It's amazing, and they play and they have fun because finally they dare to speak because everybody stutters. Mm. And at youth camps, they are European youth camps, and they come like, "Oh my God, I stutter," and they leave like, "Yeah, I stutter. Look at me now." Mm-hmm. We have many of them who are now or have been chairpersons for their national stuttering associations. We have one girl working for the European Commission. We have a girl who became the vice mayor. I mean, when you see these kids, they change, and they change because they get to meet other people who stutter. And that's, well, you should see them. They are so happy. It's just, they empower themselves, and that's the power of the stuttering association. And I have been to the National Stuttering Association twice. I love it. I laugh. I cry. I mean, I don't know these people, but they are my friends. The moment I step into that building, it's such an amazing feeling that you are among friends forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. How is that? How is that that you don't have to know the person? It's just the bond of stuttering that makes you feel connected to that person. I mean, what is it that makes that happen right away the minute you walk in the building?
I think that might be because when you step into a building where there are people who don't stutter, you feel it's not always a fact, but you feel that you're being judged,
right?
Because of your speech. When you step inside a building with hundreds and hundreds of people who stutter, then you feel, I can be me. I can speak, I can dance, I can sing, I can hug, I can say whatever I want with as much stuttering as I do. I don't have to be somebody else. I can be me. It's heaven.
Yeah, it is. I feel the same way when I go to those conferences and events as well, because that was always my biggest fear, you know, being in the fluent world with people who don't understand stuttering. My biggest fear was being rejected, you know, just because I talk differently. So you're right, just coming into a place and feeling the acceptance and feeling mm-hmm. and knowing that you're not being judged. You're right, it just gets you like right in the heart, and just, you know, you just know that you can just be who you are. And I've seen the same thing with children, both at the National Stuttering Association, and I'm also involved with FRIENDS, the National Association of Young People Who Stutter here in the U.S. And you're right. When kids get together with other kids and can just be who they are and stutter freely and make new friends, and it's just powerful to watch. It's just amazing to see. You're right. It really is special.
And it's so... And it's so great as well, because I feel so safe where I work now. I feel so safe in what I do. When I go to work, somehow there's a switch, and as soon as I enter the building, I don't stutter anymore. It just goes away, because I know this is my haven. This is the place where people know who I am, where they accepted my stutter, because before I even accepted it myself. So I feel so good there when I'm standing in front of my students, don't stutter, and I can teach, and I can do whatever I want, and that's the power of acceptance.
Wow, that is so beautiful. It's just so one wonderful for you to be able to share that with us, but more importantly, believe it and live it and walk it every day. You know, you don't always talk to people that are really putting it into motion the way that you are, and you know, kudos to you. You're just touching lives every single day, and I'm just so proud of you and proud to know that we had a chance to meet one time, and from that point on, I think we've just been connected. Because we share that bond and we understand it and we get it it's important to us and we're making a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. You said you have a daughter.
Yep.
What advice do you give your daughter? Now, she doesn't stutter, right?
No.
What advice do you give your daughter as she's growing up and you know, getting ready to face the world as a young woman? From your experiences, you know, what's the best advice that you can give her about, you know, entering the big bad world?
Well, that's the same. She's 15 now. She's changing schools, and what I try to give her is to be who you are. Don't deny who you do, what you feel, what you want. Go for your goals. If you don't think like the others, well, that doesn't mean trusting. Just stand up for your rights, stand up for your thoughts. Be who you are and be proud of it.
Yeah. And does she listen to that advice, or is she like most 15-year-olds that are like, yeah, mom?
Well, what she hates is being like the others. She doesn't wear custom jeans. Everybody has. She just colored parts of her hair blue. She has her own blog. She really, really stands for what she believe is right. And that is not always what I would like to, and what I think is right. But I support her because she believes in it, which makes it right.
Wow. Yeah. And she's learned that from you. You know, she's seen a proud, strong role model in her mother, and she recognizes that it's okay to be who she is. And that's got to be something that you're very proud of.
I am, definitely.
Yeah. Anita, it's...
And she's going to...
Yeah. Sorry. Go...
And she's going to an IT school now, just like me. So, that's my girl.
Oh my goodness, that's got to bring, wow. That's making my heart flutter right now. What about your stepsons? What do they think about your stuttering?
That was also a funny story, because when I moved to Sweden, I was 23, and these kids, the girl was 14, and the boy was 11, and I didn't speak one word of Swedish, and my husband works until 9, 10, 11 in the evening, so I had to put them to bed, and I had to help them with their homework. Before I moved, my only worries were, well, fitting in and learning a new language. So my stutter didn't bother me, but when I got there, then I realized, oh my God, what will they think of that? But the first time when they took home friends, then I realized, well, if they take friends home, then they are not embarrassed about me. So then I knew that they had accepted me. So that was a great feeling.
Wow. And now you know Swedish, of course, like the back of your hand.
I am teaching Swedish.
Amazing. Then you know English, obviously. How many other languages do you know?
Of course, Dutch. And let me just say that I studied German and I studied French.
Oh my goodness.
And I learned some Spanish. So I like languages.
Wow. Wow. And do you stutter as much in each language, or is there one language that you stutter more in, or is it pretty much the same?
No, it differs. Mostly I can speak quite fluent in English and Swedish, but because this is a recording and I hate that, then I stutter a lot. But that's fine. Then I stutter more in Dutch, and I think because it's the emotional part that is attached to it. I also stutter more in German because then I have to think of all this grammar. But it's different. So I don't really like to speak German or French that much because then you have to think the whole time, which increases my stutter.
You know, it's funny. I think most people who stutter, myself included, hate recordings and hate the telephone as well. There's just something about it.
Yep.
But it also just, I think, lends some authenticity to what we're doing. To me, it's very hard to talk about stuttering and not stutter, because then I feel like I'm not being genuine about it, you know. But I know what you mean. I don't really like to listen to myself on recordings either. But I do think that this is going to help other women, you know, who might hear this, because like you and I, you know, there might be women out there who think they're alone and who've never heard, you know, another person stutter. So, you know, when we get the opportunity to do this and willingly share and tell our stories, it does make a difference. And even if it only makes a difference for one person, that's enough. You know, that matters. That's important. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you'd like to say to those teachers way back then who didn't believe in you?
I would just like to say to both parents, teachers, to employers, don't judge a person by his or her stutter. I can do things. I can stand in front of a class and not stutter. There are people who stutter like crazy, but when they are on the phone, they don't stutter. If you have a dream, go for that dream, because the fact that you stutter might not have to be a hinder to do that job. Give it a try. Don't just judge them. Let them try. I mean, if you are looking for a certain job and you stutter, you would never look for that job. You would never go to a job interview if you thought that you couldn't do it. So those who are coming for that job, they really think they can do it. And a person who stutters has to be the best. They have learned that they have to be better than anyone else. So if you get a person who stutters in that room, be happy, because they are always trying to be the very best. And mostly they are. And they are very nice persons as well. So give them a chance. Don't say no. Let them try. It's worth it.
Absolutely. And this has been just an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You're just amazing, and you're so wonderful for the stuttering community. Thank you for being you.
Thanks for asking me.
This has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.